In the first reading, we heard, if you wish, you can obey the commandments and you will live. I think that most of us, I don't know about you, for me, when I heard the word commandments, there is immediately some resistance. I know they are good, they are there for our life, but just the word commandments produces some resistance with us. We don't like to be told what to do. For that reason, the Jews don't speak about the commandments. They have better word. They say, instead of calling them 10 commandments, they call them 10 words of life. They are the words which help us to live our life to the fullness. They are not there to limit our life. It seems that they limit our life because they are full of saying, don't do this, don't do that. But actually they are there to help us to live our life to the fullness. It is like a river. If you have the river limited by the river banks, it has strength and it has direction. When it overflows these river banks, it goes wherever it wants, doesn't have strength, doesn't have direction. It is just... That's the problem. If we live by our desire, we destroy our life. I'm expert on that. I was first 30 years of my life, I was doing whatever I wanted. And I came to the point where I despised myself. You cannot be happy if you despise yourself. I did what I wanted. I didn't think there is anything like sin because I was atheist. And yet I hated the things which I was doing. I was slave to my own desires. It is very strange, but only way to freedom is to obey God. Because whatever God told us to do is not to limit our life, but to enable us to go on the way where we will have the fullness of life. But commandments cannot give us life. They just help us not to destroy our life. Fulfilling the commandments will still not give us the fullness of life. St. Paul says that law is not there to make us holy, and actually it cannot. The law is there to show us how weak we are. The law is given to us to reveal to us our sinfulness, our weakness. In Romans chapter 7, St. Paul tells us very clearly, I don't understand my own behavior. I don't do the good which I want to do. Meaning, he knows what is good, he decides to do what is good, and then he fails regularly, not once, regularly. And then he says, and I do the bad things which I don't want to do. If you don't understand what he was speaking about, let me remind you of your New Year's resolution. On New Year, you decided, I will never again shout at my husband. What happened on January 5th? The law is there to remind us, to make us clear what is good. We know it anyway in our heart what is good. It has to reveal to us, this is good and you cannot do it. So why is there law here? To frustrate us? No. So that we may seek the help of God. You see, who can enter the presence of God? The person who never sinned? I guess most of you would say yes. Yes. If you take sin as Jesus Christ said it in the New Testament, it's not murderer only the one who murders the person. It is also the person who hates somebody, who is angry with somebody. Oh, damn, we are all murderers. Why is that? Why Christ makes it so difficult? Because you see what it means to enter the presence of God, what it means to enter the eternal life. It means to be completely united with God, to become one with God. I don't know if you believe that. It's certainly beyond our expectation. We just want God, just don't put me in hell. Everything else I can take. No. The thing is that the heaven means complete union with God. And if you have even the smallest hatred, smallest anger carry in your heart, you cannot be united with God who is love. Make sense? If you don't love one person, which God loves so much that he was ready to die for that person. You cannot be united with God. Once you are united with God who loves that person and he loves you, God would be divided in himself. Does it make sense what I'm saying? It is impossible to be united with God, even not if we don't if we hate somebody, if we don't love somebody. Because God is love. We have to become like that love. Wow, that seems nobody can reach that level. That's exactly the point. Nobody can become holy by his own strength. You see, the commandments have two levels. The Old Testament commandments are basically on the level, do not do evil, do not steal, do not kill, do not commit adultery. And the New Testament brings things to completely new level. It's not enough that you don't do evil, you have to do good. It's not enough that you don't hate, you have to love. That's unthinkable. Can anybody here do it? No. If you think you can do it, then you're like Peter. Remember Peter? Peter said to Jesus, Jesus, I love you so much. I will do everything for you. I will die for you. I will go in prison for you. I will be tortured for you, everything for you. And Jesus Christ says, nah, this same night you are going to deny me. And same night Peter denied him. And then after the resurrection, Jesus Christ asked him three times, Peter, do you love me? And third time, when he answered third time, he says, Lord, you know everything. You know that I am full of three dots. I have my desire to love you. I have desire to do everything for you. And I fail. And Christ says, that's okay. Only thing what we need to know about ourselves is not how guilty we are. Because it might be almost blasphemous what I'm going to say. It's, if you understand it in complete, in good context, it's not. Christ almost doesn't care for our sins. You see it in the confessional. Whatever sin you come and say in confession, if you want to change, God says, it's okay, I forgive you, I take away the sins, don't worry. He wants us to live in the freedom of the children of God. He takes away all the sins, all the guilt, all the shame from us. Why? To give us His Spirit, to give us new heart, to give us ability to live by His commandments. What is needed is not that we don't sin. What is needed is that we desire to have the new heart. Let me say this about not sinning one more time in different contexts. Let's say you live on deserted islands. You end up on one island and you are living alone there. You basically cannot commit any sin. You cannot murder anybody. Does it matter that your heart is unable to love anybody? That you are selfish? Sorry, I don't mean you concretely, but the person on the island. Okay. That you are selfish bastard who cannot love anybody else. You think you can be united with God just because you didn't kill anybody? Just because you never committed adultery? And you didn't commit adultery, you didn't kill anybody just because you never had chance. That doesn't help you. The point is that our heart has to be changed. St. Paul says, our corruptible human nature cannot enter the heaven. We have to be changed. And what can change us? Where the change starts from? Change comes from the Holy Spirit. I told you that so many times. Let me connect it with the commandments. When God gave commandments on Mount Sinai, that was the old covenant. God made a covenant with His people. He gave them commandments as the stipulation of that covenant. In the new covenant, Jesus Christ, who is God, also on the mountain, that's exactly part of what we were listening, Sermon of the Mountain. In the Mount Sinai, God spoke to the people of Israel and gave them commandments. Here on the Sermon of the Mount, Jesus Christ, who is God, speaks from the mountain and gives us new commandments, commandments of the new covenant. But there is a difference. All commandments were written on the tablets of the stone, and this stone was heavy to carry around. These commandments were heavy and difficult to fulfill. Nobody could fulfill them. And the Feast of Pentecost was actually celebrating God writing the commandments on the stone tablets. That was Feast of the Pentecost in the Old Testament. And on the Feast of Pentecost in the New Testament, God sends the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit comes to write the commandments on our stony hearts. Prophet Ezekiel says, I will give you new hearts. I will give you my Spirit. I will put my Spirit in you, and I will write my commandments on your hearts. So what does it mean when you have the Spirit of God? It means that you can fulfill the commandments. You can fulfill not even the old law. You can fulfill the new law, but with one stipulation. without effort. If you put any effort, it is you doing it. If it's difficult, it is you doing it. Then it is not Christ doing it in us. Can you imagine? When Christ comes and tells us, love your enemy, can you make any effort to fulfill that? Can you squeeze some love out of your selfish heart? No, it's not. It's not there. I love that bastard. I love him. I love him. Doesn't work. Doesn't work. But if God sends you His Spirit, what will happen? It's not that He magically changes the pathways in your brain, that He magically instills some hormones of love in you. What happens? The Spirit of God changes the way how we think. If you have the Spirit of God, you will think as God thinks. You will see the world as God sees. You will, if you perceive the world as God perceives the world and think as God thinks, you will act as God wants to act. And how we are receiving the Spirit of God? It's not by magic. It's very simple. Jesus Christ told us, and I told you so many times, Jesus Christ told us, the words I have spoken to you are spirit and life. These words, which you are listening now, are bringing to you the Spirit of God. And as you receive the Spirit of God, you receive also divine life in you. One example, which I also repeated so many times. Virgin Mary. Virgin Mary is there. I don't know. She was drinking coffee. And Angel Gabriel come and says, Mary, you know what is planned? You will have a son. And Mary says, ha! You get the wrong girl. I was never with men, so I cannot have a son. And angel says, no, no, Mary, you get it wrong. This will be done by the Holy Spirit. And Mary says, okay, let it be done to me according to your word. And if we were in the Bible class, I would before that, I forgot. We would open before that John chapter 1, verse 1, where it says, the word was with God and the word was God. That's eternal word of the Father. And then in verse 14 says, and the word became flesh. Here, when angel of God says to Mary, Mary, you will have a son. And Mary says, let it be done to me according to your word. This word becomes flesh in her. And divine life starts in her. A very real life. Very real flesh. The word of God truly brings divine life in her. Same as to us. I will just bother you with few more Bible quotations. First letter of Peter, end of chapter 1, says, you have been born anew. You all have been born anew, if you have received the word, not by any perishable seed, but by imperishable seed, the living and enduring word of God. Saint Peter tells us that we receive the newness of life, new way of living through the word of God. Saint James will tell us exactly the same thing. He says, he decided to give us birth by the message of truth. That's letter of James chapter 1 verse 18. Truly, Christ decides to give us new life by the word of God. And how that works. For those who love Dirty Harry movies, you remember that example. If that's your regular diet, to watch Dirty Harry and similar movies, and when Dirty Harry says, make my day, if that's your regular diet, your thinking will be shaped by the thinking and framed in the terms of Dirty Harry. Your thinking will be shaped by the thinking of Dirty Harry. You will think in the terms of violence, revenge, and so on. That means basically, in that sense, you have the spirit of Dirty Harry because you listen the words of Dirty Harry. And in the same way, if you listen the word of God, not once, not twice, if you soak in the word of God, if you are filled with the word of God, you will have the spirit of God. You will start to think as when you first time hear the words, love your enemy. I mean, when I first time hear that, I said, that doesn't make sense. That's from some another planet. And it is from another world, but Christ is the King. And once you don't listen only that word, but you connect with everything what is said in the Bible, everything what Christ has done, all the word of God comes to you, then suddenly this makes sense. And you may come to the point that you desire to do that. And then you say, same thing like Mary, Christ, I like to love your my enemy, but I cannot do it. And Christ tells you same thing. It will be done by the power of the Holy Spirit. You just have to say, let it be done to me according to your word, when God says, love your enemy. You see, the most difficult thing, and I'm always scared to say these things, because then I have to leave it, and I am scared. In Christianity, God always tells us to do the things which we cannot do. If you think well, that's only meaningful way to live Christianity. If He tells us just what we can do, we don't need Him. He always pushes us one step, one little bit more than what we can do. And that's always scary. We are always going beyond our strength, beyond our capabilities, so that we may always experience the presence and power of God in us. Who can experience the presence and power of God in himself? The one who experiences his own weakness. That's in this way we always constantly experience our weakness, and in our weakness we experience the power of God. Who can be saved? Who can be united with God? Who can be transformed? Not those who are strong, those who are weak. Not those who are good and self-satisfied. Look at me, I'm good Christian. No, those who are weak and come to Christ. Christ, I'm a mess, please save me. Just yesterday, I was speaking with somebody who was drug addict and everything, later on he entered the seminary, whatever. And how he changed, what changed his life? He hit the rock bottom. He realized, if Christ doesn't save me, I will destroy myself. He realized his own weakness. And he doesn't need to carry the guilt of everything what he has done with him. He just need always to remember how weak he is. As long as he remember that, he will always rely on Christ. We always need to remember our sinfulness, not our guilt. Christ takes the guilt, but our tendency to sin. That we may always seek him and stick with the one who is where our strength is. That's the only thing what is needed. Probably last thing which I want to tell you. We have problem when we listen to the word of God. One problem which we have, which we intellectualize too much. We try too much to understand what does it say to us. And remember, I'm the one who always, wherever I can, I do the Bible classes. I try to help people to understand what Bible says. So I'm not saying we don't need to understand what Bible says. But before we try to understand what the scripture says, before we try to understand what the word of God tells to me, before all this, we have to understand who is speaking to me. It is not the word of man. It is not just some intellectual concept which I have to understand. It is God trying to communicate to his child. That's the essence of, that's the beginning to understand the Bible. If you listen to the word of God in that context, then you will understand properly also later on what God says. Little baby, when you speak to little baby, when mother speaks to little baby, boo, 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 you understand. Baby doesn't understand what the sounds mean, but baby understands my mother loves me and cares for me. That's the starting position to understand the word of God when God speaks to me. And that's why we will bring also here again the announcement of the good news, where you can listen this good news, when you can be showered with the word of God, that it may connect you with the one who speaks to you.